back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
You are indeed, young William. And today we have another wonderful show for you. We're going to talk about some things that are important to both Will and I and should be for you. One, to stop showing a bitch and breeder. When is it about breeding more than ribbon collecting? We're going to touch on some international differences as well, following up on last week. All this and more on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh.
Yellow hill. Well, good morning, young William. Here we are again. Electronically, anyway.
Electronically. But, you know, I love spending these mornings with you because we've been on the phone for over an hour. And I should just hit record as soon as we start.
Yeah. Because some of that good stuff wouldn't be, you know, we'd have to get, some of that stuff.
And not Doc might hold it over our heads or something. I don't know.
That's true. He probably would. Yeah. But some of that's good stuff. It's just not necessarily
good stuff.
Ready for prime time. We have to be careful about which problems we solve and which wars we start. Anyway, you're off to a show this weekend, eh? Were you showing dogs or judging?
Yeah, I've got the Irish there and the Beagle Hunter this weekend. I'm showing the older Beagle, AJ, at the
show
in Brockville. Yeah, I'm getting him ready for Aldi, so I wanted to get some miles on him again, poor guy.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Aldi is in Virginia. It happens every 5 years. If you've never been, you've missed the greatest hound show, most historic, wonderfully cool hound show. It's at Institute Farm, which is a place owned by the National Beagle Club, which is a field trial club. Well, a hunting club, but you shouldn't say field trial. It's a pack club, a small pack club, I think. SBO, small pack option. I don't know. Anyway, all the terms escape me, but they run rabbits with dogs and they're wonderful. This place is so historic. It's like the show ring itself is like a putting green surrounded by ancient, ancient little tiny log cabins. They're just ancient. It's such a cool site. And that's where the Beagle National is every 5 years. And so that's where we're all headed to in September. I just rented a tiny house, Will.
What are you? Tiny house?
Yeah. Sean and I are staying in, I built one once.
I remember it was beautiful.
Yeah, it came out great. But this is a real nice one. And it's close to the show and they allow dogs. So they have giant pigs and goats and longhorn steers and all kinds of stuff on the farm too. It sits in a 20-acre farm. So it'll be fun. But anyway, it's not only the Beagle National, Foxhounds and Harriers, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's happened before, but this year, you get to see the Beagle National and the Foxhounds and the Harriers. Now, there's no RV parking. There's no parking. It's hilly. It's just parking the grass. It just shows to go you that you don't need all that fancy stuff to have a great dog show.
Oh, I love that dog show. I love this, the bricks with all the names of past members on it. I just love it all. I just love being there. So.
Yeah, that cool old big farmhouse where you have lunch. Yeah. Oh, it's such a great place. Anyway, that's where we're headed at the end of September. You're heading to Brockville. I'm heading to Muncie, Indiana this weekend to judge for Tim Catterson. Good friend, good guy, and be fun. Go down there and hopefully see some good dogs. And then we get back to the process of trying to unpack into the new house, which is not going well.
Oh, no.
Well, for two reasons. I'd rather be up in Graceland.
Yeah.
You know, there's no doubt. I'd rather be up at the resort. Not real Graceland. It's what Will calls our coach up north.
Anyway, it looks like Graceland. I can see him just sitting there having his fried banana sandwich.
It's true. We're torn between spending time up there before. Why would we not wait until December to unpack when we could hang out up there?
Oh, exactly.
It's so beautiful this time of year.
I still have boxes in my basement. I've been here for what? How long?
Well, you know, the theory is if you've not opened the box for a year, don't open it. Yeah. Just throw it away because you really didn't need it. Yeah. I don't know if I could do that, but
I know. There's that Bobby Orr hockey card I've been looking for.
Hey, I watched the movie, the Gordie Howe movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I found streaming. Oh, we got our hockey in, Will. We haven't done that in a couple weeks.
I know. Now, World Juniors is happening right now because it was canceled in the winter because of COVID. Yeah. So they're doing a summer edition. So I've been watching hockey.
Good for you. Well, it's a fine movie if anyone's interested in whatever happened with Gordie Howe and how that little thing with the merger went. I'm sure you're all dying to hear about it. But if you know who Gordie Howe is, you would, right?
Oh, it's a wonderful movie. Isn't it? Yeah. If you're a hockey buff, you want to watch that. So
not as good as Best in Show, but it's still a good movie. No, I remember when that movie came out, there was outrage from the dog show community. There were articles and letters to the editor about how dare they make fun of our sport. Well, now I think everybody thinks it's the greatest movie because it's so true.
Exactly. You have met all those people in your dog show world.
Yep. And of course, that troupe is so good. You know, Parker Posey, Eugene Levy, and those guys are brilliant. What a great crew.
All right. Just after that movie was a hit, I was flying down to, I want to say, St. John's, New Brunswick with Piper, the Irish Setter Dog. And Eugene Levy was on my flight. And we started talking about the dog show. And he came down and he saw Piper and he, you know, petted him and whatnot. But it was before cell phones, really. So I would, if it had been now, I'd be like, we found a new handler on two left feet. You know, Eugene Levy. But yeah, he was a great guy. Great guy.
Oh, isn't that fun? Oh, that's so cool. What a great story. Well, I love that troupe. That's mostly ad lib. I got the script for it. It's about, for Best in Show, it's about 6 pages long. It just says situation and you make up the words as you go. Incredible talent. They have a Waiting for Guffman and Spinal Tap.
This is Spinal Tap. What a movie.
They're great. And they've worked together in improv for years, and they just are so good. Plus, I have a secret crush on Parker Posey. Yeah. maybe a little secret TV crush or movie crush. Anyway, that is now, I think, accepted as hysterically funny. And up until I had a van that had one of those entertainment things in the back, you know, the DVD players for kids.
Yeah.
We had no use for it. It just came with the van. Well, one day I popped Best in Show in the video player. Of course, I couldn't see it. The screen was behind. Didn't matter. I just listened to it. And that's, you can barely keep your car on the road. And it's so funny.
Yeah, it is.
Brody's going to his first point shows this weekend.
Oh, good. Where's he going?
Somewhere in Maryland. And I told him, don't forget to bring Busy Bee.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he didn't think it was funny. I'm not that neurotic couple with Weimaraner.
and as a handler, you know, we would meet the Weimaraner people all the time, right? Yeah. Oh, there goes the Weimaraner people.
No, Brody's far from that. He and Margaret have done a great job. And he's done a great job training and getting this dog ready. And they're going to go have some fun. And the good part is that it's Nancy Tuttle and all our old friends that are entered. So they'll have a great time helping each other, as it should be, right?
Right.
Erica, I don't know if she'll be there, but boy, that's a great crew and they're very supportive of each other. And it's a lot of fun. I'm glad he's in that area to be with some old, I shouldn't say old.
What an area.
Long time pointer people.
Like growing up, that was not just pointers. That was kind of the mecca of the Irish Setter world too, in my world anyway.
It still is.
That area, you know, just.
You can't beat the, you know, New England, Middle Atlantic seaboard, that whole area. There's just so many good dog people and so many good shows there. And that's where all the top winners used to come from. Now it's spread all over with transportation. And
We'd go down there with our dogs when I was a kid, my parents and I, and we'd see all these, we'd see Mr. Aldridge and Ross and all. It was Irish Setter heaven, you know. Yeah.
And Janie always had one, and George always had one. And I mean, it was always just so many good ones. Tommy Glassford would come over from Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, it was a great place to grow up. It was almost cheating. Almost cheating.
Almost.
We learned so much and so many good dogs. I had a good conversation with a friend of ours, who I asked about this bitch that I really liked that he showed. She's young. And I said, how's she doing? She just won some big specialties and things. And he said, oh, she's doing fine. We're stopping showing her. We're going to breed her. And I thought, wow, I think she's two or going on three. And I thought, you know, and this bitch is on a roll too. I thought, that's really, he said, I'm just tired of having good bitches, watching good bitches be shown through their career and never get bred until it's too late.
Right.
And bravo, you know, good for them. Tough call, right? But if we're about breeding dogs and not collecting records and ribbons, pretty smart.
I agree, because we have lost out on some bitches that have just had phenomenal careers that just never went on to produce what they could have produced, you know?
Yeah. You may get one litter out of them when they're six or seven, and that's fine, but it'd even be better. Now, with dogs, it's different, right? You can collect them. You can do what you want. But with bitches, we got to get more serious about thinking about that, right? How long do you want to show them? Do you want to take... And what's wrong with taking a pause, right? She's young. And, you know, my dad would always have them. He would always breed them before he special them because they fill out, you know.
Oh, exactly. And so we need to breed her first, you know. Strengthen up that.
Oh, yeah. That was the thing. And maybe it still is in some breeds, but... you don't see it much anymore because you can finish them all when they're 9 months old. Because you only need to beat one other dog to get your points.
I'm showing the AJ dog right now. I'm just playing around with him. He's an older dog. He's like 5 and a half or so. That's the time to show them when you think about it. You know, we all show our dogs too young, and it's hard not to, because you bring them out and they catch fire and they start winning. Mm-hmm. You just lose track of time, and before they're even ready to be the best they are, people are getting tired of them. So it all comes down to timing.
Well, in racehorses, you know, we had this triple crown for three-year-olds. Well, these two-year-old races, well, horses aren't ready until they're four or five, six maybe. Yet we get them rolling all because the triple crowns become such a big thing. And now we've got all these races that don't get me started. Anyway.
No, I want to get you started. That's what we're here for.
but seriously, stopping to show a bitch, stopping to breed a bitch, hats off.
Oh, most definitely hats off. You know, well, commend them for doing it, because it needs to be done, especially with a bitch of that quality, you know.
Yeah.
She'll come back. I'm sure she will.
So. And if she doesn't, she doesn't. She's already won a bunch of big specialties. I'm sure she will too, but if she doesn't, it's about, in fact, I took an ad out, which I rarely did, a 2-page spread in Dog News many years, well, 2000, I guess it was. I had a pointer bitch who was never going to be a special, but she was a real nice one. And she had, she was a blue hen and she had a great pedigree. She just was she was in the wrong place at the wrong time to be a big winner. This is before, as pointers are starting to add breed type, leaving the hound era, she was right in the cusp of that. And I bred her one time. Well, I bred her more than one time. The first time I bred her, she had a litter of puppies, nine, and they all finished not only quickly, but with big wins. So she ended up, and I didn't know this, she ended up number one top producing sporting dam. And she got that award, and I took out an ad, and all it said was, remember when it was about breeding. That's all it said. And her name, of course, and all that.
Yeah.
And I got more email and responses on that ad, because it's true, you know, we're supposed to be doing this to breed better dogs, not to win as many ribbons as we can. And, I knew she wasn't as special. I could have done it, but it wouldn't have been, you know, it would have been self-defeating, but I knew she'd be a good brood bitch, and she sure was. And that's more important to me, you know.
It's a real tough call, especially for new people, because they get a dog and she's beautiful, and they start showing her, and they're getting gratification of showing her, and it's hard for them to put away their big winner. It's hard for them to stop being the winner for a while, you know?
Yeah. Who's chiming in there? Well, on the top.
That's AJ.
He's probably got a lot to say about this.
Oh, yes. Let's He's breed them all, dog. He says.
Yes, stop all the bitches. Bring them to me.
Let's breed them all.
But, yeah, it is. You know, it's a thing that we often forget. We seem, and I wonder if it's because you're spending so much money campaigning these dogs between ads and handlers and expenses. Maybe you're spending so much money that you don't want to stop and breed them. You want the ultimate trophies that no one remembers the next year.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we were standing in rings the other day, John Griffith and I, we were talking away, and this young lady came up and started talking about winning and whatnot. And he turned around and said, who was top dog 3 years ago? She's like, she could not come up with the answer. He said, exactly. Yep.
I was just going to ask you, who was number one herding dog last year? You know, no idea, right?
No idea.
How about number two sporting dog or number three hound? No idea.
No.
No one cares.
Do you remember dogs? Do you remember dogs that make impact on their,
yes,
their bank, mm-hmm, and their head, you know? But
We were talking about this earlier before we started to hit record about England and international shows again. We touched on it last week a little bit, but you know, there's only, I don't know, 28 championship shows in England all year where you can get tickets. So you're not going to run out and run up some new best in show record. You don't have many shows, many championship shows. But when you're a top producer or you're that dog who just catches your eye, people don't forget. I won't forget Too Darn Hot of Tragbon, Andrew's bitch. I'll never forget her.
Yeah.
You know, and she did a lot of winning too. But there are dogs like that to catch your eye. I don't think Mick set any records over there, but he certainly is one of the great ones. Kerry Blue that came here. And there's plenty that I've seen over there that I'll never forget. Giant Schnauzer from Italy that took my breath away. Frank Kane came and said, you got to come see this dog. We mentioned Frank before. If you haven't met Frank Kane, you've missed one of the great characters and dogmen in our sport. He was my co-host at Crufts doing the commentary for many years and a great guy. But he would do that at Crufts. He'd say, Wayne, you've got to come see this dog. And we'd run through the traffic to get to go see it. And then we'd run through. And those are dogs, I don't know their records. I don't know. But I remember them all.
Yeah.
You know, it's about seeing good dogs.
It is. Like people will bring up a dog's name and then they'll say, oh, she was this and she was that. Well, no, she wasn't. You just saw her because you just liked her so much. You gave her your own record in your head. Oh, of course she was top, whatever, but maybe she wasn't. She was just that good that in your head you felt that she was the top dog. That happens all the time. These dogs that I look back on dogs in my past. I can't remember the Arsetter bitch's name. Rose Ross had her when I was about 10 or 11. Her name was, I want to say Magic, Midnight Magic, or Moonlit Magic. I'll never forget her. I'll never forget the impact she made on me. When we stopped at Rose's house, Ted and I was a kid. He stopped to evaluate a litter, and she brought this bitch out, and she set her up for us to look at. And it took my breath away. It has stayed in my head my entire life. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she ever amounted to anything. I don't know what she did, but the pictures in my head of this bitch with this beautiful headpiece and this shoulders and top line, everything was just, I thought was just a picture. And I was 10 or 11, so could have been Mickey Mouse. But
yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was at Elliot Weiss's house when he lived in New York, and we were having breakfast. And there were Chesapeake Bay Retrievers in the backyard in the paddock. And I saw this bitch, and I don't know what she ever did. I don't know her name. But I just looked and said, that's what I've been looking at. That's the template I need. And Elliot was more than happy to back me up on it. I don't know anything about her, but that's one of my templates for Chesapeake Bay Retrievers. And I don't know a thing about her. And it doesn't matter. Oh, you know, it doesn't matter.
Dogs just have that impact on you.
Yeah. Maybe we can get back to being about breeding. Maybe we can get back to being about breeding before records. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. And this is this instant gratification era. I don't know if that's ever possible at this point.
Yeah.
Because people want ribbons they want.
And you can get them because there's 1,000,000,000 shows to get
them
at.
That's right. Yeah.
I think this weekend, I mentioned it last weekend too, but this weekend, I think 5 million dogs went best in show. Pretty sure 5 million. So whoop-de-doo. You know, I'm not discounting your ribbon. Trust me. I'm just saying,
of course
so, it's like photographs. We take so many damn photographs, they start to lose their meaning. Now that we can just take them with our phone, we've all got 3,000 pictures on our phone. Used to be when you had to take the time to develop the picture,
and you put wait
an album and you had it forever, right? And you could find it too. But yeah, whatever, different world. Speaking of Frank Kane and international things, I was having a conversation with someone about a hound and whether that hound would do here. I don't care. I know she'd be a great brood bitch here. I know that. But as far as winning goes, she's different. And every breed, not every breed, but think about the differences in these breeds. And I don't, you know, people think English Springers right off the bat. And yeah, but if you change their markings and trimmed them, it'd be a little closer, but they're still different. Right. They're just different. And that's true with so many Shelties, Whippets even. Oh. You know, we get the odd Whippet over here. From England, but if you see them over there in general, they don't look much like ours.
Same with Irish Setters, Wayne.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I went reserve best show with Johnny, went reserve best show with this gentleman from Hungary, and I was really shocked. And he told me afterwards that it was nothing like he'd ever seen before. Yeah. But he said he was a really good dog. He said he would never walk into a dog show in Hungary and see this dog there, and it wouldn't fit if it did. But he said, He adjusted his eye to where he was.
That's interesting.
So, yeah.
Well, it's true. It's, I don't know if it's every breed, but it's almost every breed. And in some cases, the standards are exactly the same, but the interpretation is different.
Exactly.
And we do a lot of importing and exporting. And I think if you look back to the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, all the terriers were imported here from England. Now, I think, you know, some go back.
Oh, they do. There's no question that they come over here to look at our stock now.
Yeah.
Where we used to flock over there and try to find even their throwaway to bring home.
Yes. Yep. So. Yeah. And now they're bringing them back there to breed. And I think that's a good sign. That's how it should be. And as a result, Fox Terriers in both countries, not a problem.
Yep.
You can go back and forth. There's certainly more conformity and consistency in that breed between two countries. So it can be done.
Well, you look at not so much England, but if you look at America and Australia in the three setters, they're very interchangeable now. They people have gone back and forth and I remember there was a kennel over there that started with an English bitch and bred to an American dog, and they stamped a look, you know. They got those shoulders and that headpiece and they got the rest of it just all matched. And now we have a template for an Irish Setter, you know.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that Australia has done that that combination in many breeds, right? They take the English dogs that have dripping in type and usually neck and shoulders, and they breed to the fancier American dogs and find something in the middle. And it's many breeds.
Oh, and they come up with some just beautiful examples of the breed. A little off topic, but it goes back to how certain dogs leave an impact on you, and with dogs that weren't shown a lot, but you still have that in your head. My good friend Luke Era called me up the other day. He messaged me in the middle of the night, and he sent me this picture of this Harlequin Great Dane. And he said, "Who is this showing this dog?" Because it was a Canadian dog show. And he knew the guy. He just couldn't remember his name. His name was Bonnie Klomstra. He bred Harlequin Great Danes in, I want to say, the late 70s and 80s. Luke sent me the name of it. I think it's pronounced Shebon Kennels. I'll send you the picture, Wayne. Bonnie passed away, I want to say, 20 years ago. He would show up only at the big shows, and he'd just go best in show. And it was nothing to it. He'd win the group, he'd go best in show, and we'd all say, could you imagine if he brought that dog out every weekend? Well, he wouldn't. He would come to the big shows and His Harlequin Great Danes have stamped even in Luke's head. He remember thinking they were the best Great Danes I'd ever seen, and we looked at the picture and think that could win now easily. You know, we were talking about them because he messaged me in the middle of the night, so I messaged him when I first woke up, and we had this conversation about an hour about Bon and Klomstra and his Great Danes.
You know, isn't that cool? I mean, Luke's just such a great dog, man, and that's what you want to have. You still want to have that passion, not to call someone and say, can you believe that idiot judge is so stupid? I'd never show to him. And do you believe that dog just won? The thing's horrible. That's not passion. That's whining.
That's right.
You want to hang out with people who will call you in the middle of the night and say, I just found the greatest soft coat Wheaton Terrier ever. That's what you want. That's what it's about. Having that long-term passion to breed better dogs, recognize better dogs in every breed. And if I see a dog in a breed that I'm not really familiar with that takes my breath away, I've got people I can send that picture to and say, hey, do you like this as much as me and why? You know, that's what emails and Facebook are for. Oh, this other crap.
And we have so many, and there are judges like in their early 50s that they still thrive on that. They're from that generation enough. They still thrive on that. My friend Sean Nichols, he sent me, again, middle of the night, I get the question, who bred Lindrick's Crystal? Do you remember? Well, this is Sean. Sean is a poodle person. Lindrick's Crystal, for the shepherd people that don't know, she was, up until a time, the greatest specially winning shepherd for a long time. I Leslie Donkus showed her, I think... was also some handlers on her, but she was bred by a gentleman in Belleville, Ontario, named Harold Hutchinson. And out of the blue, Sean, poodle breeder, you know, known for his toy judging, who bred Lindrick's Crystal? But I think it's great that he was thinking about that, because he's judging a lot of, he judges a lot of groups now, but I just think it's great that he's thinking about that and enough to reach out, and I'm glad I had the answer for him. But
yeah. You know, I miss Rick Beauchamp for that very reason.
Yeah.
Rick would call me in the middle of the night or send me an email with two pictures and say which one you like better. And gosh, that's the kind of stuff that's the sport to me. That's the sport. Not about flying in and setting a record and flying home. And, you know, I guess I'm just never going to adjust to the new pace of the sport. And I think there's a lot of young people that are even going, you know, this is a little, what was it like when you guys did this? You know, it wasn't very long ago. Oh. It wasn't, we're not talking about shows in the 40s here. It wasn't very long ago.
Sometimes I'm sure I get invited to dinner just so I can tell them stories.
I know I do.
Will you have dinner with us tonight? All right. And then they'll bring up something and...
But you know, there's stories to tell, and they were some serious, passionate people who cared more about breeding and about who bred this and who bred. By the way, when's the last time you saw an ad for a Best in Show winner that lists its sire and dam?
Yeah,
no one cares anymore. In fact, they don't even put the damn dog's name in. They just put, you know, whatever his name is, Lightning. You're supposed to know who the hell Lightning is. Yeah. And then you ever get the emails from people who say, hey, did you see that we just bred Birdie to Elsie? That's nice. Who the hell are they? Could you give me their registered name, please? It's not in the catalog.
It's true.
And then there's, of course, still those people, Will. We've talked about it before. Still those people that want to know, that say that bitch is out of their dog. Ooh, that's got to hurt. He's by their dog, ladies and gentlemen. He's by a dog out of a bitch. He can't do it the other. Just this would hurt way too painful. Anyway, I'm unpacking here, Will, as I mentioned, and we keep building smaller houses and we keep building houses with open floor plans. And you know what that means, Will? There's no walls for the art.
Right.
Piles and piles.
I see them leaning against your wall back there.
Oh, that's a small sample. There's a whole other room just full of those. There's pallets, and they're leaning up against on these pallets. Oh, there's occasional hockey jersey thrown in there, but mostly dog art. But those are back to Crufts again. That was just, that was the fun of it. And Frank Kane, Frank and I being on the BBC crew, we had our little badges, you know, and setting up Crufts is an extraordinary experience. No one unfortunately gets to see it, and it's good. They don't, it's not quite safe. They carpet all five buildings. They carpet squares, miles and miles, and they're laying down the carpet squares, and they're building these booths that are two stories tall with a tea room up top. It's an amazing experience. But the booth guys are there, and you know, the antique, a lot of art dealers there. And Frank and I would go in the day before the show started, when they were building and no one could get in. And he knew a guy who was a great art dealer, and he would pull the breeds that we were interested in and have them ready for us on before, because they get sold out pretty quick. And these damn Americans go over there with their big checkbooks and steal my art. But so I always had, you know, pointers, setters, English toy spaniels, Clumber spaniels, border terriers, my little list, and Wolf Islands, of course. But, and there's certain breeds have art and certain breeds don't, right? Try to find old beagle art. No one painted those.
And if you do, it's a caricature with a shoe beside it. You know?
Oh, don't you hate that?
I got this beagle printer. I thought of you. You want this? No, no thanks.
I can't stand it. Oh, I've got, next week, I will show you something that Cheryl found on the internet. It's a guy that hand carves signs that say welcome with your dog on top. And she ordered a beagle. And I'm telling you, well, it's beautiful.
Oh, good.
He's got the eye right. It is gorgeous. It's a little street, just a sign to stick in your garden. The guy's wasting his talents. It's brilliant. But yeah, the benefactors had money to hire the artist to commission for pointers and foxhounds, because those are the people who had the money to do it. So that, you, great art there, but it's slim pickings elsewhere. Slim pickings.
No, when you find something that's good, you grab it. I found this inkwell one time. It was an inkwell on a marble plaque with a little beagle beside it. And it was, I still have it. It was perfect. You rarely find good beagle art. So
yeah. You don't, you just don't. I was at some junk shop or whatever they call them, pawn shops.
We sell junk and buy antiques.
There you go.
We buy junk and sell antiques.
That's exactly the kind of place. Exactly. And there was a pipe stand with an English cocker. And it wasn't, the dog was nice. It wasn't the greatest quality pipe stand, but it was good, real good quality. And I called Doug right away, and Doug Belter, of course. And I got it for him, and he struggled with it. Certain breeds you can find, certain breeds you can't. But as a result, I really do have at least 50, 60 pointer prints alone. So when everyone says, oh, I found this new one, you know, I already have it.
I have one over my shoulder. People can't see that. So yeah, that and Wayne knew exactly what it was and you did it. When it was done. Here I am, all proud of it.
Well, it should be. It's a beautiful print. But it was great fun for Frank and I to do. That was part of our month. You're going to come with me one of these years.
I definitely have to go.
Anybody who hasn't been to Crufts hasn't. It's a circus, first of all. Yeah. And it's a flea market with very expensive items for sale as well. And it's crowded. So mark all those off your good list. Well, if you want to go shopping for dog stuff, it's the greatest place in the world.
That's what Wendy tells me. Wendy Doherty, she goes, well, Wendy's over there a lot with Gavin and his wife, Sarah, and so she always tells me stories. Wendy, they breed PBGVs together. So yeah. Wendy bred Peter Parker, the dog.
I did not. Oh, cool. Well, you want to bring an empty suitcase that way. But this dealer would have all our art rolled in these nice little cardboard tubes so that we could bring them home safe. Oh, it was great. It was wonderful. But I'm afraid to go back. I'll buy more.
Bigger house.
No, a smaller house, a lot of walls. I think that's what I need to do. Long, narrow rooms with lots of walls.
Unless you hire someone just to rotate the pictures every month.
Well, I've done that myself, but the problem is I'm a little specific about how I like it hung. And
then you'll have to do it yourself.
And if you change sizes, it's going to throw off the whole.
Right. Yeah.
One of the reasons that my new office has three black walls, or dark, dark, dark gray walls, is because I have a lot of gold framed art that I would love to hang on those black walls. I think it looked kind of cool. But yeah, before I do that, I've got to find my microphone. I've got to find my backup drive. I just keep getting messages on my laptop saying, it's been 143 days since your last backup. Yeah, I know. I've got the backup drive here somewhere. It's in a box. I just can't find it. Drive you nuts. Drive you nuts. Anyway, all that and more. So what do you think, Will? Do you think that we're going to constantly have 5 million best in show winners a weekend? I don't think there's any turning back.
I don't see how it's going to change, Wayne. I just, we don't have that many up here, but we have enough to make it annoying where we can have 3 a day in Ontario. You know,
it's, yeah.
We just can't, that we can't, day. We can't afford it. Our dog population can't afford it. You know?
Well, think about this, you know, this just came to my mind when you said that. Our son has got his pointer and he's going to go to a 3-day, he's entered for 3 days. You know, young couple, both have great professional jobs, but they've also got a mortgage and 2 cars. And if he had to go to a simple 3-show weekend where there's 1 or 2 points available, it's going to cost a lot of money. And maybe with these 7-day and 10-day constant long weekends, the regular guy is saying, all right, I'll go to 1 or 2 of them, but I can't afford to go. Or can I take the time off work? He can't take the time off during the week to go to these shows. But you know who can are handlers that have clients that have enough money to do it. So do you end up, all shows are just handlers, except for Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, there's so much going on here. And I don't think there's any turning. You can't start taking shows away. I could. No. I would find a way. But politically, it's not correct to do so. And you wouldn't, you know, when you work for the AKC, you get elected every year. So you don't want to do the right thing, get anybody angry. You want to just keep pleasing everybody and having more shows.
Does it come to a point where if a show is under a certain number, it becomes an open show?
Well, I've been proposing that for 30 years. No one wants to listen to me. That's how it should be.
I must have been listening because that just popped in my head. And it was in your voice, so maybe it was.
See, that could be it. Or it could be God. We sound a lot. Oh, heaven forbid. Oh, I said heaven forbid. Anyway. It's terrible. I just saw a terrible pun joke. I'll have to send it to you. It's got nothing to do with dogs. Anyway, what else you got, William? Anything?
Not really. I'm doing a lot of work at home right now and getting ready for some shows. And the Beagle National is in my headlights. I'm looking forward to that.
Are you bringing the blow up Irish pub?
No, I thought that was your job.
No, I thought it was
Eddie's pub.
I thought that was Eddie's job. The Zook Irish pub.
Yeah. See, you, at least you and I, Kavanaugh and Alexander,
we can pull it off. Yeah, we can pull it off. Let's get some tape and put it over the Eddie's in. Yeah, that would be great. Well, it'd be great fun. You know, it has this Vrbo and Airbnb. If you're going to dog shows, think about it, because we're $150 a night for this tiny house on a farm. It's so, I mean, it's not going to be elevators with dogs and nerves and people in lobbies and saying hello to everybody 15 times and choking up your dog getting on the elevator and hoping someone doesn't pee on it. You know, it's the same price as a hotel, maybe even cheaper. Yep. And I'm closer to the show and I'm in this beautiful country setting. I'm going to do more of that.
That's a good idea. I think that's what we've done as well. I know we didn't get a tiny house, but I think we rented an Airbnb. So.
Yeah, it's the way to do it. You know, Neil McDivitt, great guy. He's a judge.
Yes, such I do.
Guys, such a really good guy and a good dog man too. Really like him. He's an English Tor Spaniel too. When we judged together one weekend, I said, "Are you staying with the judge?" He goes, "No, I never do. I find my own little boutique hotel somewhere," and it's. It's, you know, we're just so used to just hitting the same button, but I'm going to start thinking about it because you can put in your Airbnb or your Vrbo, you can put dog friendly.
Yeah.
There's plenty of them don't accept them, but plenty of them do. There's a real cute cottage, a writer's cottage available near the show. It looks a little tired and it's a very old building, very old, like 1800s, right on the street. So you can walk to everything, but it's got a fenced in backyard. The problem for me is old houses and allergies. I don't The carpet looks a little tired. And I'm not sure I breathe in there. But boy, that's a great spot for people who don't have allergies. There's lots to pick from out there. So don't forget your Brody and Margaret came up to visit, and they had a house on Lake Michigan. They had the dogs on the beach, some beautiful pictures. And
oh, beautiful.
Had a great time. So yeah, something to do. Anyway, there you have it. All right, young William. I'm going to see if I have to find clothes. I don't
know. Oh, you still, yeah. You're judging this weekend. You've got to find.
I still have one pair of shorts, some Keens sandals, and a couple of t-shirts and a sweatshirt. That's
it. You can show up like that. I was at a show in, it was Kent Kennel Club, and my old assistant, Raymond, who is now a judge, was judging, and they lost his luggage. And I'm looking in, there's a beautiful sight, and it's around the shores, I forget what lake. It was beautiful. And I see this gentleman judging dogs in a pair of pants, shorts, and a button-up khaki shirt, and a button-up plaid shirt, like a farmer shirt.
Yeah.
So he was judging my dog. So I put my dog on the table. I said, I didn't realize that the groundskeeper were allowed to judge here. But they had lost his luggage, and he was judging in the clothes he arrived in.
Wow. Well, you know, way back to Crufts again. This has got to be 20 years ago. I don't think I know they don't do this kind of thing anymore. But British Airways, was just a royal, wonderful way to fly. And the BBC had hooked me up and flown me over first class, and everything was lovely. And except my luggage didn't arrive. And I had a live show. We're alive the next day. They told me to go out and buy a suit. A proper suit. Here's some stores we suggest. And I did. They paid for the whole thing. My luggage came back. I opened it, and they had it all wrapped, a new shirt and a tie that they picked. And it was sitting wrapped in tissue paper with a little bow and a little note saying, sorry.
Oh.
They don't do that anymore, Will. They don't do that anymore. Remember when Air Canada had real silverware?
Oh, yeah. Pepper shakers.
Yeah. Well, those days are gone. And I'm flying to California to judge in October. I just made my reservations. It costs more than a house now to fly. And you feel so bad for these clubs. I'm doing like a horrible time, three-stop flight that I hate, because I can't imagine giving them the bill for a regular flight.
Right.
You know, it's just not doable right now. So, but you can fly to certain places cheap, like Munich isn't bad, but Sacramento is.
Makes a lot of sense.
A little more jet fuel to get to Munich. But anyway, there you have it. All right, young William, it's been a pleasure as always. Enjoy your
friend. Thank you.
I'll try to enjoy mine, and we'll meet up at the other end.
Perfect. All right, everybody, stay safe out there.
Party on, Bert.
No way.
Better you pay attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered
glass. So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie. From where I
need to go. Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself damn seriously.
To see the world and take the throne.
Thanks, Ernie.
Oh, we didn't mention hockey. Isn't that unbelievable, though? Put that in, Doc.
Man, I want to see it on a blooper anywhere.